Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, I'm going to talk about a few words from the Fukan Zazengi. And Fukan Zazengi, we chanted that this morning during service. It's the translation is Universal Promotion of the Principles of Zazen. And this is the first thing that Dogen wrote because he felt like people in Japan didn't know how to sit Zazen, so he thought that was the most important thing when he came back from China. So he wrote this in 1227. The part I want to talk about is a sentence that's pretty much about three quarters of the way through the text after he's finished describing to us how we should sit Zazen, physically how we should sit. The sentence is, "The Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of repose and bliss." And what I want to talk about here is simply the Dharma gate of repose and bliss. I thought to myself that it meant that sitting Zazen meant that it was about attaining repose and bliss. And it was about my definition of repose and bliss. So my definition of repose and bliss was something like, everything feels great. I don't have any thoughts. I'm in some kind of altered state in which I'm transcending my experience, whatever that might be. Like if you ask me in my imagination, could I in this state fix a meal? Well, of course not. Could I in this state go shopping? No, because I was transcendent. You know, I was no longer part of my daily life. So that is not what repose and bliss refers to. And also, it's also translated as repose and joy. I like joy, actually, better than bliss, because bliss has this connotation of what I was just talking about, this connotation of some kind of special samadhi state. So it is not outside the realm of your daily life. We're not trying to attain some state outside the realm of functioning in your daily life. Dogen's not talking about, in Zazen, we are not talking about having no thoughts. We are talking about, as Suzuki Roshi said, not inviting your thoughts to tea, right? Or not being asleep. Shohaku Okumura refers to it as disengaging the gears, like just disengaging the gears of your brain. That's the kind of what we're doing with our heads. And so when we're caught in thinking, we come back to that state of just being present, and we are judging ourselves, we just come back to that state of being present. So actually, it's really simple. Our Zazen instruction is super simple and very difficult to do. Though it's difficult to do it in a way that is non-judgmental. It's difficult just to keep coming back to the present moment. That in itself can be a challenge. So that's the, and our eyes are open. Our eyes facilitate this coming back, so that we're not, I don't know about you, but as soon as I shut my eyes, it's all over. So this way that we keep our eyes open. You know, that's generally what we're being asked to do practice-wise in our daily lives. We're being asked to stay awake, keep your eyes open, notice what's going on, respond without judgment, incorporate oneself in a way that's wholesome with the totality of what is actually happening. So in general, I would say that this sentence is saying that we are engaging in formal Zazen, and that engagement is a Dharma gate. And this Dharma gate is entering into the creation of equanimity in the rest of our lives. So this way that we are essentially cultivating equanimity through doing Zazen. So what about this part of the phrase about Dharma gates? So Dharma can be Big D Dharma, which means teachings, Buddhist teachings, or dharmas, or a dharma, is a small d dharma, which means anything. Anything you can name is a dharma. Watch is a dharma. A moment is a dharma. Any of those things, just is myriad things, are dharmas. So this idea about entering into a dharma gate, we say, you know, dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. So that means that all these myriad little dharmas are dharma gates. Everything we do in our life is a dharma gate. And then there's the issue of the Big D Dharma gate, which I would say is this way in which we understand the teachings. So we have very specific teachings in Buddhism. And we have very specific teachings. Let's say, for example, Zazen instruction is a very specific teaching from the Soto Zen school about how to engage in this practice of meditation. And so Dogen's saying this Dharma gate, this teaching, is a way that we enter into. So a gate is something that we enter. And usually when we enter a gate, it's not amorphous. There's something specific that we're entering into. It's kind of a boundary, if you will. But more think rather than a boundary, a border. So we're being asked to enter into this border, into this space of Dogen's understanding of what it means to engage in Zazen, what it means to cultivate this thing called repose and bliss. So we vow to explore and be guided by the teachings. We vow to explore and be open to the true nature of myriad things. I vow, Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. So that's essentially what we're doing in Zazen. When we sit Zazen, we are entering in that Dharma gate. We're saying, I vow to enter this Dharma gate. I vow to put myself in this place. I vow to sit down. I vow to Big D Dharma instructions from Dogen about how to sit Zazen. I vow to make my best effort to actually follow these instructions. You know, if you want to practice Soto Zen, then that's what we do. And we don't make anybody sign any cards. Nobody has to sign a loyalty oath when they, you know, come to the Zendo. I vow to follow Dogen's way. You know, I vow to be a Soto Zen practitioner. But Ocean Gate is a Soto Zen temple, so what can I say? You know, this is the practice that, the guidance that we have from our founder, Dogen Zenji. So we look at his explanation about how to do Zazen as a Dharma gate. These are his instructions. Fukan Zazen Gear, his instructions about how to do this activity called Zazen. Okay, so Suzuki Roshi said about Zazen, when you sit, you should just sit without being disturbed by your painful legs or sleepiness. This is Zazen. Accept things as they are. So that's kind of interesting because often when we're sitting Zazen, well, I don't know about all of you, but sometimes I have the experience of saying to myself, gee, I don't like being in pain. I don't like having this experience. I don't like what I'm thinking about. I don't like being agitated. Bummer. You know? And yet, I just sit there. I just keep sitting there. We have this 40-minute period of Zazen, or we're doing the sitting like we're doing today. We've all made this commitment. I'm just going to sit there in the midst of this. Sometimes good, sometimes not good, but I've made this vow that I'm just going to sit here and do my best to follow Dogen Zenji's way, which is accepting things as they are. So don't take this accepting things as they are as, you know, I have to be in an abusive situation or something like that. Just think of it as in the context of your Zazen, you know, that we are sitting in the midst of this. And so we are going to explore this. So this is how we begin to enter repose and bliss. How does this entering happen? Well, it happens by sitting in the midst of no repose. It happens by sitting in the midst of no bliss, no joy, right? Having that experience of being in the middle of something. You know, I usually talk about, when I'm giving lecture, I often talk about interconnectedness. I talk about working together. I talk about the great mandala of Buddha nature. I always talk, usually try to talk about things like that. But here what I want to talk about is being in the middle of this suffering, being in the middle of this sitting zazen, which is our life. It's not just the formal practice of zazen, but this sitting in the middle of our life. So what is suffering? What is suffering? So the Buddha defined suffering in the Second Noble Truth. The Buddha said suffering is we get what we don't want. Suffering is we don't get what we do want. Or maybe we're not seen the way we want to be seen. Or we're not perfect based upon some kind of preconceived idea we have about what perfection is. I would say these fall in the category of what's technically called attachment to re-becoming. Attachment to maintaining your sense of self. We don't have to worry about losing ourself. We will never lose ourself, our personality, who we are as individuals. But that way in which we get so attached to ideas and thoughts we have about who we should be, what we want to happen, who we think we are, that they disconnect us. They keep us from being in accord with what's actually arising in any given situation. So these are some of the ways that we suffer, you know, that we experience suffering, that we have resistance. And then the Buddha said, the suffering of old age, sickness, death, impermanence, right? So those are also things that he identified as being problematic. And I'd like to add to that, I'd like to add the stock market, elections, political polarization, social imbalance, the coronavirus. I'd like to add pain in your legs, too much thinking, trying to figure out how to tie your Oreoke, being on time and following the schedule. Worry, worry, worry. So how is it that we sit in the middle of this thing about called the coronavirus? How is it that we sit in the middle of whatever worry and anxiety we have? And again, this is not about not doing something when it's appropriate to do something. But I would suggest to you that this practice of sitting zazen in the zendo, this practice of just, you've made this vow, I'm going to sit here in the middle of all of the stuff that's going on in my head, and I'm just going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep coming back to my breath. I'm going to keep coming back to listening to the birds. I'm going to keep, in my case, I'm going to keep coming back to looking at the floor. In your case, you're going to keep coming back to looking at the wall. So this way that no matter where my mind goes, I just keep coming back to be grounded in reality. That's the Dharma gate of repose and bliss. This willingness to sit in the middle of your life transforms your relationship to suffering. So as Suzuki Roshi suggests, he says, when you sit, you should just sit without being disturbed by your whatever it is. When we live our life, this is zazen. This is sitting in the middle of our lives and not being disturbed. Isn't that the definition of equanimity? Being in the middle of your life and not being disturbed by your life. Isn't that really hard to do? I think so. So this activity of sitting zazen is this way that we just do this thing. So if we don't make that effort, we really rob ourselves from this beautiful teaching. We really rob ourselves from repose and bliss. We are not entering into this Dharma gate. I know, you know, sometimes it's like, especially in long sittings or whatever, sometimes you're like, oh, I just can't do this today. But, you know, actually the fact that you're here, or you're in the Zendo, or you're at home in the morning or in the evening and sitting down and doing this activity, that has magic all of its own. It's like a deep river. Deep river that you're sitting in the middle of. Maybe you don't know you're wet, but your willingness to just keep doing this activity over and over and over again. So we make our best effort. Don't be judgmental about it, but don't be lazy about it either. Just come, just do it the best that you can. And I tell you, it's transformative. It's transformative. I was thinking about patience the other day. I was thinking about myself. I thought, you know, I'm much more patient than I used to be. Maybe this has something to do with it. You know, maybe a willingness to sit in the middle of this life on this cushion, this little, you know. At Tassajara, I did Tongario, which is, I think, either 5 or 7 days. Of, you just sit there for hours and hours and hours on your little cushion. Your whole world becomes like this, what, 3 by 3 foot little cushion here. Just like, stay. Stay. I would say to myself, how is it now? Okay. What about now? Okay. Because actually, moment by moment by moment, as soon as I came back to this moment, you know what? It was okay. It was okay. It was when I got caught in some notion about, oh my God, I've been doing this for hours, you know, that it wasn't okay anymore. So that's Sazen. It includes all the discomfort. It also includes the good stuff. It includes all the discomfort. And it is a really big D Dharma gate for us for the rest of our lives. Thank you very much.